Michael here.
Hello.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Stephen Jack Butzella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about days on market, DOM, and how it's a great equalizer.
Days on market, the great equalizer. That is a new cliche invented by...
By me.
Exactly.
Days on market's so important.
Love it.
It's so incredibly important. And we'll talk about... Man, if there's one thing that you should really understand about infill lots and eventually wholesaling houses, it's looking at days on market. But why stop there? That's what I say.
Totally agree.
Before we get into it, though, let's first take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free, and as you're listening to us, please drop in your questions in the comments section below.
Walden asks, hey guys, my first year of land investing is coming to a close and I have no clue about taxes. I have $6,000 in cash and $40,000 in terms so far. Not bad.
Yeah.
No idea how to calculate profit and loss for land contracts, and I have no idea about the tax advantages I can utilize for real estate. Any suggestions would be great.
Here's my suggestion, and this for the rest of your life, this applies. Don't do your own taxes. And do not take this to someplace like H&R Block. Find yourself a good a real estate. You should only ever go to an accountant, in my opinion, and a lawyer, by the way, on the advice of somebody else.
Love it.
Who's already gone through 6 or 7 or 10 lawyers or accountants in the market, and wherever you are, understands that this person is kind of, they get it. This is not child's play from a tax standpoint. You don't want to get behind the eight ball. You want to make sure you're doing this stuff right. Because if you do it wrong, you're going to pay forever. And if you get an overzealous accountant, they're going to make you overpay. Just, you know, so it's impossible, respectfully, for me to answer in giving two sentences of information on the tax implications and what's going on with you.
This person I already forgot the first name.
Walden.
Walden, thank you. Walden, you did exactly the right thing, by the way. Walden put this in our online community, and I am willing to bet that right now there's probably 10 replies in there.
Yeah.
With 10 people that have good accountants that have already helped them out and already figured all this out. And for the record, that is one of the other real big benefits to being in a community like this. You're not walking around reinventing the wheel every day. This is a big deal.
Yeah.
You have a question like this, where else can you go?
Yeah.
Like, imagine normal business world. There's nowhere I can turn and say, hey, everybody who owns a restaurant. I don't think it exists. There should be an online restaurant community. But maybe, you know, there's restaurateurs that have these same questions. They don't have people to turn to. We have people to turn to. It's our community and our group, and we're all on the same page. And there's someone that's always 6 months ahead of you that just went through this, and they'll show you the way and they'll help you out. And it doesn't hurt them in any way to say, hey, call my guy. You know, if anything, it helps them, because this now they're going to get a better rate down the road too, because they're referring 6 people to this guy. Everybody's going to win.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Here's the other thing that doesn't get discussed about accounting and taxes all the time is that, you know, planning for that stuff makes you make good business decisions. Like you had some cash and term sales. How that all comes out at the end, how much money you actually made on it, you know, you're going to make decisions about how you buy and sell real estate and where you buy and sell it based on those outcomes. So
bingo.
You've got through step one fantastically well, Walden.
Yep.
You really want to now get yourself, I think you were the person who asked about spreadsheets and stuff.
That's good.
I really think you should put everything into a spreadsheet, get it organized, and start making good business decisions based on numbers.
I love it. That means do I want to keep going with term sales? Let's see how much taxes I paid. Huh, look at the cash sales. Look what they made on those and the taxes. Now I'm going to start looking at things differently.
Right.
And look what, you know, you got it.
Today's topic, days on market is the great equalizer. This is the meat of the show. Well, what the heck, Steve? I thought days on market applies to houses. It does. All infill lot property is based on house values. And the person that you sell it to builds houses. Or they subdivide property for builders. So houses, you know how we always say start with the end and then move your way back? That's what this is. Start with houses, specifically houses in a real low days on market. What is days on market? Days on market is I list a property for sale in the MLS because I'm a dingbat, and I have a real life, and I don't care about real estate except for the fact that I need a place to live, and I want to move. I have to move because my job changed. So I list it on the market with a real estate agent, and they sell it. How long did it take for them to sell it? How many days? How many days on the market was it on the market that it takes to sell? In Seattle right now, it's less than 7. There are markets in this country that I've never seen in my whole life that are so low. In certain places in Scottsdale and in central Arizona, where Jill and I buy and sell a lot of property, days on market are less than 30 days, which is never seen it that low there. And in Southern California, we're about to buy a ton of property houses. They are in the 20-day range. So lower is better. So what you want to do is buy infill lots in markets where the days on market's low also. So if you have to look at, and all this information is free. You can go to realtor.com or redfin.com, or there's all kinds of places on the internet that you can find real good days on market information. Oh, that's great, Steve. So we got that figured out. What about rural vacant land, which is what almost all of us look at and buy? It's a completely different product, priced completely differently. And in rural vacant land, I mean, Jill and I have done 15,000 rural vacant land deals, and we continue to do rural vacant land deals all the time. This doesn't apply to that. Days on market does not apply. What you're appealing to, when you're appealing to the seller's sense of, I just don't want the property any longer.
Right.
So days on market don't apply when you're buying property for 20% of what it actually probably could sell for that day.
Right.
And if you're buying a property for 20% of its value, you're going to sell it pretty quick.
Yep.
You don't have to look at it that way.
Thank you. You did my job on the show. What the heck, Steve? I can just kind of sit here. I love it.
The takeaway is this. And during these live events, the two live events that Jill and I just did with our members, I could see everybody's wheels turning when I said, let's look at the housing market. And everybody's looking at me cockeyed like, I thought I came here to buy land.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Housing is tied to urban land like nobody's business. And it's directly tied, directly associated. Rural vacant land and commercial real estate, to some extent, are more touchy-feely and more, there's not as much data and a little bit, there's a lot more risk, but a lot more reward. You can hit huge home runs with rural vacant land and ranches and commercial real estate with infill lots and housing. It's more of a singles doubles game, which I prefer.
And it's what you just said too, it's more consistent, and it's what's the right word I'm looking at? There's no, like you said, it takes the guessing out of it.
It's very scientific.
That's what I'm looking for. There's a pattern, and you'll know what to buy and what not to buy, and it's pretty darn easy when you sit and look at the data.
So think about this. So for every market, let's just use Scottsdale, Arizona for some, let's just pick on Scottsdale. Within Scottsdale, I think there's 8 or 9, at least 8, maybe 5 to 8 zip codes. Some of them have very wealthy neighborhoods, some of them don't, some of them are in the middle. You always want the middle. You take all those 5, let's just say there's 5 zip codes, and you pit them against each other. You look at the days on market for each one, and one of them, along with some other statistics that if you went to the live event, you know all about this. This is all in Land Academy 2.0. You line them up against each other, drop them into the spreadsheet that we provide, and you look at them and see which one's best. That's where you send the mail. Because there's always people who want to sell their land, no matter what market you're in, for less than it's worth, because they just want the money.
Yep.
So why not make it easy on yourself and go to the lowest days on market area, coupled with the least amount of property available, the highest turn rate? It's all a statistic are in there, but it all centers around days on market. You can very easily in just seconds look on a website like realtor.com and see which days on market areas, what is selling fastest. That's where you want to be. It's all in the name of turning this property as fast as possible.
I have one word.
Yeah.
You have like 50, well, a couple hundred right now. Thank you. My one word, predictable.
Yeah.
That's what I was trying to put my my finger on, that one word. What is it that I can say that ties all this? It's predictable.
Yep.
If you know, like you just explained, what's going to happen when I buy a house at this percentage, in yes. this time frame, in this zip code, with these, you know, this criteria, it's predictable. It's going to sell in X amount of days because all the data is right there.
You got it.
It's awesome.
Well, you've done it again. You spent another 10 minutes or so listening to the Land Academy show. Happy Friday, by the way. Short but sweet show today. Join us next time where we discuss priced to sell. And what that actually means is you're just too late.
And we answer your questions posted on our online community, landinvestors.com. It's free.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition.
Hey, can we talk about cliches a little bit?
Yeah, price to sell. Here. Yes, go ahead. Yes, yes.
I was going to lighten it up and not talk serious for a few minutes.
It's Sounds
Friday.
Good. Yeah.
All right. So here was, I was thinking, think of the, some of the dumb cliches that you've heard in your life. It's usually our parents telling us, like, or somebody else. One of my favorites is, it's not what you know, it's who you know. Like, what's one of your favorite stupid ones?
Cross that bridge when we come to it.
Yep. Thank you.
Penny for your thoughts.
Oh, that's a good one.
That one kills me.
Oh, my gosh.
All men hate that.
Oh, I'm trying to think that. Like, I don't know if it's a cliche, but it kind of is, I had to walk uphill in snow both ways. Where'd that come from?
I don't know.
Is that a Michigan thing?
I don't know.
Oh, I don't know. But I was just thinking about cliches in general. Why do we use them? Why do we say them? They're stupid.
It's just because you don't have to think. It's really easy. It's really easy to not be creative and not have to. You can just say something and everybody knows what you mean. And then you can, oh, okay, let's open another beer.
Speaking of beer, he's one can shy of a six pack or whatever, you know.
Not the brightest bulb in the box.
That's it. This is good. Be sure and hit the subscribe button to stay up to date on our podcast. Like us and comment on what I'd like you to see in future shows. And if you're listening on iTunes, please rate us there. We are Steve and Jill.
Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.